The epistle for the 21st Sunday after Pentecost is taken from St. Paul's epistle to the Ephesians, the 6th chapter. Brethren, be strengthened in the Lord and in the might of his power. Put you on the armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the deceits of the devil. For our wrestling is not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against the rulers of the world of this darkness, against the spirits of wickedness in high places. Therefore take unto you the armor of God, that you may be able to resist in the evil day, and to stand in all things perfect. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of justice, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. In all things taking the shield of faith, wherewith you may be able to extinguish all the fiery darts of the most wicked one. And take unto you the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And the Holy Gospel is taken from the Gospel of St. Matthew, the 18th chapter. At that time, Jesus spoke to his disciples this parable. The kingdom of heaven is likened to a king who would take an account of his servants. And when he had begun to take the account, one was brought to him that owed him 10,000 talents. And as he had not wherewith to pay it, his Lord commanded that he should be sold, and his wife and children, and all that he had, and payment to be made. But that servant, falling down, besought him, saying, Have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. And the Lord of that servant, being moved with pity, let him go, and forgave him the debt. But when the servant was gone out, he found one of his fellow servants that owed him 100 pence. And laying hold of him, he throttled him, saying, Pay what thou owest. And his fellow servant, falling down, besought him, saying, Have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. And he would not, but went and cast him into prison till he paid the debt. Now his fellow servants, seeing what was done, were very much grieved, and they came and told their lord all that was done. Then his lord called him and said to him, Thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all the debt because thou besoughtest me. Shouldst not thou then have compassion also on thy fellow servant, even as I had compassion on thee? And his Lord, being angry, delivered him to the torturers until he paid all the debt. So also shall my heavenly Father do to you if you forgive not every one his brother from your hearts. Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. But that servant, falling down, besought him, and the Lord of that servant, being moved with pity, let him go and forgave him the debt. These words are taken from the Gospel of today's Mass. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Children often grasp some of the most profound truths with great realization. This was definitely true of Billy, as his mother learned one night. Billy knelt in his usual spot for night prayers, at the edge of his bed next to his mother. Billy had recently reached the age of the use of reason, so he could now understand the difference between right and wrong. Mom and he were finishing their night prayers when they came to the words, If I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. Now this particular night, he said only the first line, and then he stopped. He looked as if, for the first time ever, the meaning dawned on him. Then he repeated the first line again. If I should die before I awake, and stopped. Billy jumped up, left his mother, and rushed downstairs. In a few moments, he was back. And mother asked, why, Billy, did you run away right in the middle of your prayers? The little boy, with a look of urgency and duty, answered, Mom, I had to. When I thought I might die, I remembered that I took John's hammer, so I ran to put it back. And then I remembered I put Maggie's doll high up on the shelf so she couldn't get it, so I put that back too. Billy then finished by saying, gee, I mean, when you think of dying, you want to change a lot of things. While he walked this earth, our Lord told us another story, a parable of someone else who needed to change a lot of things. Addressing his apostles and disciples, our Savior tells us the parable about the master who took an account of his servants. He tells of a king who had a certain servant, one of his stewards, who put himself into a debt he could never repay. The king sentenced him to prison for overspending the king's money. But that servant, falling down, besought the king. He pleaded with him, saying, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Now the king knew this was impossible. He could never actually pay the debt himself. But being moved with pity, the king let the servant go, and he forgave him the debt. We must not forget that we too are servants, servants of our Lord and Master, God Almighty. When we sin, we offend our infinitely good God. And the Catechism tells us that sin has two punishments attached to it. Unforgiven mortal sin demands what is called eternal punishment. If a person were to die unrepentant, with unforgiven mortal sin on his soul, he would have eternal punishment on his soul. He would deserve to be eternally punished, and this is so because the guilt of the offense is against our infinite and eternal God. In his goodness and mercy, our Lord instituted the sacrament of penance to save us from this eternal debt. The Baltimore Catechism tells us that confession remits or completely removes the eternal punishment due to sin. Thus, having made a sincere confession, the penitent no longer deserves the eternal punishment of hell. The second punishment which sin demands is called temporal punishment. This punishment is attached to all venial sins and forgiven mortal sins. One priest writes that, after confession, the sinner is restored to the friendship of God, but confession does not always remit all the temporal punishment. Why is there still this debt, this temporal punishment, even after we have gone to confession? The Baltimore Catechism again answers this question, saying, God requires a temporal punishment as a satisfaction for sin, to teach us the great evil of sin, and to prevent us from falling again. Thus, that second punishment is required as reparation for offending God. And this penalty gives us a dread of sin, which helps us to avoid it in the future. My dear faithful, we are just like the servant in today's parable. We have this great debt to satisfy, a punishment which we owe to God for our sins, a debt for offending an infinitely good and loving God, to whom we owe everything. Like the servant, we cannot sufficiently pay off this debt without our master's help. But we too have a merciful master, a forgiving and loving Lord. He does not condemn us to immediate punishment as soon as we sin. No, he gives us the chance to fall on our knees and plead his forgiveness. Then in his goodness, he gives us opportunities to pay off the temporal punishment that remains. Knowing the guilt and punishment which all our sins deserve, we should hasten to make satisfaction, restitution, and reparation for all our faults. As the little boy in the story realized, we have to undo the wrong and make up for what we have done. Billy felt the urgency of making reparation for his sins. This is what made him rush from his prayers to put his brother's hammer and his sister's toy back in their places. And it is what ultimately made him say the profound words, "When you think of dying, you want to change a lot of things." At the moment of death, we will see much more clearly the effect of our sins, the debt of reparation which we owe, how they hurt God and often our neighbor. And we will wish that we had done all we could to make up for the wrong done. But how do we do this? How do we pay off the rest of the debt we owe, the temporal punishment due to sin? The Baltimore Catechism tells us that the chief means by which we satisfy God for the temporal punishment due to sin are prayer, fasting, almsgiving, all the spiritual and corporal works of mercy, and the patient suffering of the ills of life. Now this last means, the patient suffering of the ills of life, is one tool that can easily slip through our hands. By the ills of life, it does not necessarily mean illness or sickness. The ills of life include all those little annoyances we encounter each day. When it is stuffy in the car, when a coworker or family member has habits that grate on our nerves, when we sit in traffic or are cut off on the road. Other ills of life might be physical pains, headaches, or perhaps something more serious. To patiently bear trials is a way we can make reparation. They really are not ills at all, but they are treasures when viewed supernaturally. There are so many opportunities or spiritual dollars to pay off our debt for sin. And God is so good that not only can we get out of debt this way, but we can even win greater reward and merit for heaven. Thus, my dear faithful, frequent the sacraments, especially confession. Pay off the eternal punishment and win grace and strength against sin. Then, to pay off the temporal punishment, patiently bear the little trials which come your way day to day. That is, without complaint, cheerfully remembering we are paying off time in purgatory and winning a higher place in heaven. How our hearts ought to long to make reparation to the most sacred heart of Jesus, our King and Master, whom we have so often offended and wounded by our sins. Today is, my dear faithful, the feast of St. Margaret Mary. to whom the Sacred Heart revealed his great love for us. On account of her burning love for our Lord, she wrote that one day, when I was moved by the desire to make some return to the Sacred Heart, he said to me, "You can give me no greater return than by doing what I have so many times commanded you to do." Again, that same Lord of ours calls upon us, his servants, and he pleads with us, "I ask that reparation be made to my heart, and I promise you that my heart will expand itself and pour out in abundance the influences of its love on those who will render it its due." God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.